Daily bread.
This is my daily bread.
Yes, it is.
This is my daily bread. Your very
bless you, sis.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. All honor and praises go to you, God. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am so grateful.
Amen.
I am so grateful for the word and Pastor Moore. Thank you for the guidance. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. He's worthy.
I know angels are surrounding me and my family. I know. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to give flowers to everyone here in the body for supporting me and my family.
Amen, sis.
Me and my family. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to to feel the love, the mercy, and the support.
Oh, man.
I had one of our young gentlemen come to the car to assist me in walking to the church. I don't take that lightly. I don't take.
Oh, my.
I am so grateful for that.
Amen.
I just want to make one request if I can. When we get a chance, if we can this morning, there's a song that we're standing in the presence of the Lord. And if we can sing that, if that's okay. With
oh, yes.
Thank you.
Amen. Brother Seth? Amen.
I'm so glad to be here. Man, he's been so good to me. Oh Lord, he just coming here and just the blessings, the miracles, the fact that Brother Jay got up here and sang that song. Oh Lord, I don't take this lightly. The fact my kids are here, the fact that he gave me such a strength that I can stand the gap for them, for my family. That I get to come in here. I got to be greeted by the Bonds kids. Yes. It's such a blessing.
Yes. Yes.
God bless you. That's what they said. Amen. They mocked. I love the fact you can't come in here and not have that rust knocked off you.
Yeah.
I don't care what you've been through.
Right.
I don't care what your week's been. You come in here, if you're a believer, that will be knocked off of you. Amen. You'll come in here and you'll praise God because God's been too good to you. You come in here, what did Jesus do? He walked around the body.
Amen.
He touched him. He didn't come in and have a seat. So I made a priority to come through here and shake the hands of God. Then one woman says if she could just touch the hem of his
just
garment.
The hem. Just the hem.
Just the hem. I can touch God in flesh.
Oh, my goodness.
What are we doing?
Oh,
Lord,
my,
it's such
my,
an
my.
Age where I can come here. I know where God's at. Oh, I can come in here. I can say, what's your need? What's your need? What do you want? What do you want? Do you want to go home? Do you want to be healed?
Yes.
Do you want your worries to go down? Lord, I can sit there. I can every time, like Brother Morris said, I feed my wife. Lord, touch her. I feed my daughter. Lord, touch her.
Amen.
And she does. He does every time.
He
never forsaked me.
Amen.
No matter what I've gone through, he has always raised the standard up. No matter how far I have fallen. I get up one more time.
Amen.
That's a believer.
Yes,
a believer won't get up here and be like, well, I messed up.
Right,
he's like, you know what? Thank you for falling.
Amen.
Because I didn't know what grace was until I
fell. Amen.
I didn't know how much I need him until I need him. You
my
have to go
goodness.
Through something. You have to have some character. This bride's got some character. We've been through some things.
Yes.
I'm not going to sit down here and just sit on God.
Mm-hmm.
I am so full of joy. Lord, I come in here. I can just touch.
Yes.
I can reach out. I can heal it.
Yeah.
That healing power is still mine.
Oh, yeah.
That everything that body's gone through, he raised Lazarus.
Oh, he settled it.
He raised Lazarus. I'm raising the body up. I'm raising a whole body up.
Yes.
I'm not going to sit there and shortcut myself.
Right.
If your ribs hurt from coughing, let it be healed.
Yeah.
If your neck hurts, let it be healed. If your heart hurts, let it be healed.
Yes.
I'm not going to sit there and limit myself because, well, you know, I guess I'll just feel bad. If you're blind, let you see.
Oh, my God.
I still claim it. I still claim it. It's not different.
No.
That body's not changed.
Amen.
I still have a job to do.
Yes.
I still have breath in my lungs.
Where there's breath, there's
so what am I going to do? I'm not going to sit there on God and be like, well,
come on.
You know what? I'll let somebody else talk.
Right. No.
It's been
no.
a little bit too long.
Right.
I don't want to get in a routine where I have to get up every service. But at the same time,
right.
It's not the same without me.
Amen.
There needs to be an urgency.
Sprinkle that season.
There needs to be a little bit of, it's Sunday morning. What's
up? Sunday morning, yeah.
Everybody woke up fresh.
Oh.
There's no excuse on Sunday morning. But I get up here and I see my kids. I see my loved ones. I see God in flesh. And I can't help but just reach out and say, oh, Lord, one more time. One more time you brought me in this house because I know God's going to talk to me. I know God's already talked to me. God said, God blessed you this morning.
Yes.
God said, God blessed twice at the door. I got to walk through here and say, God bless to God again. I got to hear God talk to me. sing to me, amen. Tell me sweet whispers.
Oh my!
That the Pillow church talk. Age can't find.
Yeah, they can't.
They're
find
still it. Stuck on the seventh
yeah.
day.
Yeah,
I've moved into eternity.
Yeah,
where there's no work. Eighth it's day. Already be done. All I have to do is like, you know what? I got.
That's it. That's it.
If I want the healing, it's mine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit there and look on the circumstances.
No, no.
I'm not going to sit there and look on what could be or what the devil says. All that devil wants to do is make you think you're 3 minutes. 3 minutes. I'm already there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit there and be denied my benefits.
No.
I put too much in this.
Oh, my.
I'm not going to be denied this.
No. Nope.
So I want to say I'm thankful for revelation. An understanding.
Yes.
A clear mind.
Clear mind.
An understanding yeah. is a clear mind.
Yes.
You're not torn about
Let
it.
Let this mind be
when
in you.
When life comes at you, you know what? You're like, oh, well, that's cool. That's fine. Guess what? I have an answer
nah.
for that. We're over here dealing seat. With the family matters, and Kara asked me, well, what do you think about this? God spoke. That's it. Simple
Amen.
As that. We got the answers. We've got the resources.
Yes.
You don't have to doubt it. If you doubt it, then you don't believe it.
That's right.
That's
you
right.
don't believe it.
Plain and simple.
If you don't believe it, then why are you here?
Right.
It's simple as that. You either step on it by faith
yeah.
until you have a revelation of it.
Yeah.
I believe that body change until I get a revelation.
That's
by the time
right.
I get a revelation on a body change, I'm changed.
Yes.
That's it. That's it. And then I'll be joined up with my loved ones. I know my loved ones by name. I know them by name and face.
Amen.
Who else knows who they're calling up by name and face?
I no
don't,
one.
I don't know anybody else. So when I get up here, I want to say, you know, thank you for one, the front part of the service where I have the opportunity to
preach. Yes, yes.
Because not every church has this.
No, no.
You know, this wasn't in a pamphlet.
Right.
I didn't know what I was going to say, but I know that my heart was so full
yes.
that I can't sit back there on God or I was going to explode. I was getting nervous.
Yeah.
I need to walk
oh.
around. I need to raise yeah. my hands.
Clap shake
myself.
Yourself.
I want to shake it loose.
Yes.
I don't want to sit here and be stagnant on God.
Come on now.
He's been too good to
oh
me.
Oh, my goodness.
He brought all my kids in good health. And good health. Oh, good health. We walked in here on 2 feet.
Yeah.
We raised our hands with 10 fingers.
Come on.
I'm talking with lungs.
Amen.
Yeah.
What more should I be thankful for?
Come on.
I woke up warm.
Yeah.
I woke up well fed.
Yeah.
I woke up with clothes on my back.
Come on.
Nobody questions that. But we're over here like, well, God, is if it's your will, it's my will. Why are we still Trinitarian thinking?
Right.
Why are we separating ourselves
why
from our Father?
Oh, my.
He said, me and my Father are one.
Come on.
I'm about my Father's
oh,
business.
My goodness.
All things work together.
Yes.
It's not, you can't pick and choose.
No, no,
you can't
no.
write and divide.
It all runs.
It is or it isn't. That's the day and age we live in. You either are going or you're not. So Lord, I'm thankful that I'm going.
Amen.
But I tell you what, this I am ready for church. So I'm gonna just like they did rounds.
Yeah.
And they brought the city down.
Oh yeah.
I'm not gonna and the angels praise God the whole entire time. There's silence in heaven.
Yeah.
So where's the praise at? He
right
wants
here.
To be praised. I'm gonna praise him.
He'll find faith.
If I can walk around by myself, I will, but this is real. This
amen,
nothing
I,
you can base
amen.
Your life on this. It will never Ooh. Forsake you. It will never. Your friends will change. Your weight will change. Your hair will change. Your flesh will change. But the word will persist. You'll never fail. He said, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will. Heaven and hell will fall
oh,
away before
my,
I break my word.
What
more promises do I want? So, Lord, thank you for a revelation. Thank you for an understanding.
Amen.
Thank you that I have one more day. Because I'm not looking for...
Yeah.
I'm not looking to rush through life. I'm
no,
enjoying
no, no. Enjoy.
I'm enjoying the fellowship.
Yes.
Amen. I'm enjoying that. I can come into church. I can be like, you know what, Brother Warren?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I can touch God. I can fellowship with God. I can sit there and talk to God. I can have a cell phone.
Yeah.
I can text God.
Speed dial.
Who else had a
dial speed dial?
Voice call.
Yeah. Hey, what you doing? We're having a fellowship. Well, yeah. I don't
come on over.
You know, I don't really like football, but I'll be there.
Yeah.
It's not even a matter of what you like. It's the benefit of the fellowship.
I get to be with you.
If you're like, well,
yeah.
I don't like bowling. Okay. I don't like camping. Guess what? If the body's there,
yeah.
I'll find a way. I'll find a way. But that's how we do it. That's Satan's thing. Satan
yeah.
wants to keep you out.
Right.
He wants to keep you out. Say, well,
yeah.
it's my personality. You know, I have sicknesses.
They won't understand.
I'm yeah. busy. Gather yourselves closer.
That's it.
For the day is coming.
That's
Stay
it.
Here.
Day's here.
And the bride turns quickly.
Day's here now.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we waiting for? Yeah. Scriptures are fulfilled. Dead's already here. We're already in the midst of a rapture. So what are we waiting for?
So I'm going to sit here. And I'm going to fellowship with my brothers and sisters.
Yes, yes,
the same brothers and sisters I'll spend the rest of eternity with. So I'm going to thank God for revelation. I'm going to do my round.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
That's good to be in the house of God. I've been fighting the devil. I had this muscle spasm that's been bothering me. And wouldn't you know, Saturday, it was really intense. Woke up Sunday morning, my back was really stiff. And Sister Crystal said, "You just stay home. I got it." And I didn't want to have any discussion with her. I said, "Okay, you just go. I don't want to be a hindrance to you. You get the church. Make sure you get the church." But in my heart, I was like, "I'm going to be there."
Amen. Amen.
Muscle spasm or not, but we know how the devil works. You know, when it's time for church, he's going to do everything he can to throw a roadblock in front of you. And like, as soon as I recognize that, I say, "Oh, that's right. It's Sunday morning."
Yeah.
What else? Who else is behind that? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to overcome that.
And so amen.
I made it my mission to be here one more time. So I just thank God for that. So I just claim that victory. And I was reading something
amen.
From the last service. This thought came to me, and I go, I got to look this up because I know what's in there. And it was after the comment that Brother Moore or Brother Jeremiah, someone had mentioned that we're messengers. Yeah. We're angels.
Yes.
And so I go, I know that's in the scripture somewhere. Let me go find it. And I found it. It's Hebrews 13, second chapter. It says here, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And I thought about that, and I go, Paul wrote that back in the first church age.
That's right.
And he's talking to the bride, but I'm a part of this bride body.
Amen.
You know, I'm like, well, what kind of angels are there? You know, when I used to read that, I was thinking carnal.
Right.
I was thinking, you know, I mean, and maybe it could be true, because Brother Branham did say those UFOs were visiting angels. But you know, and so I always thought, well, maybe it was one of those kind of angels. And so that just goes to show you how carnal, at least I was. And then, you know, at some point I was starting to realize, maybe there's a little bit more to it than that. And so as I was growing in my revelation, I was like, yeah, that's got to be talking about. And I was just limiting it to me, to this church, as you thinking, you know, since we know the most, we could see the furthest. I go, that just must be the eighth day bride. No. That's for the whole bride body. Because there's a bride for every age.
That's
and if there's a bride for every age, that must mean there's foolish virgins for every age. And if those foolish virgins are entertaining the angels, there it is. You know, I got to tie myself back to the bride body because it's not just the eighth day, it's the whole body.
Yeah.
So they were all, Paul was talking to all of us.
Oh, my.
And then when that clicked, I went, wow, okay. So it's another one of those moments where you read and it just dawned on you. You know, there's a little deeper meaning to this that you're not going to get out there in the church world.
No.
Oh, my God. So, and that's
amen.
Just one. And then I think Brother Moore said, you know what, if you're going to read that, just read the whole chapter. You know, anything that they bring up, just read the whole chapter. So I read the whole chapter, and then I found something else that just amazed me. And it says here in the 15th verse, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And I was thinking about those cherubims, which they, without ceasing, they continually praise God, giving thanks to him. Yes. And I go, Paul was on to something with that. And I go, you know what? That just I don't know, it just did something for me, knowing, you know, that we can be a part of that too.
Amen.
And we do. But, you know, I mean, I just want to thank God for the opportunity to come today. I mean, I was going to make it my mission, and I know I surprised Sister Crystal. She thought I was just going to stay home. But, you know, it's good. It's good, you know, because it just goes to show you, you know, you got to have that extra push to get here, because this is where we're going to get our marching orders. You know, this is where we enter the holiest of holies to hear from God. I mean, what more can we do? What more can we say? What more?
Amen.
You know, I just thank God that I have that push, that desire to be back in the house one more time, because this is where I get my bread. This is where I get, oh God, I come to meet God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Well, hold on. I got a direct traffic here. We've got a testimony back here. And then let me just get the announcements out of the way, because I see y'all just trying to come up on me. I'm gonna put a little bit on that. So just bear with me for a second. So,
yes.
Always remember, you're running this.
That's right.
You direct it, and when you feel by the Spirit it's time to cut it off.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love that. You heard that. That came from the pastor.
So,
all right. Now I can do my job. Okay. So February 24th, we got the Reptile Expo. And then March 31st, Kentucky meeting. And just be looking out for all those updates and everything like that. And it's good to see Brother Bean in the house. And Brother Bean, if you'd like to say something, you don't even need to get in line. Just stand up and come on out here.
Amen. 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 Man, I just appreciate to be here this morning. How wonderful, glorious it is. You know, it says in the Bible, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
Let us be glad and rejoice in it, you know. I just appreciate that, brother. Man, what a powerful testimony.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I've already had church. Hey, that was powerful. You know, it says in the Bible, this is how I know that you're my disciples. We have love for one another. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, all thy heart, and with all thy mind. And to love one another. The Bible says to exhort another.
Yes.
To remind one another, to help each other.
That's
you know?
Right.
And the prophet says, as it gets more and more in the last days, just spread your love even more.
That's right.
No matter what.
Amen.
Love one another.
Amen.
Yes.
You know? And I appreciate, because you guys have shown me love.
Amen.
You know? And I love each and every one of you so much.
Amen.
You
brother.
Know, and I just love coming here and being able to speak a little bit, you know. And,
amen.
Had a dream not too long ago that, hey, I was going to be here and I was going to speak.
That's
and here
dream.
I am, you know. God's word is true.
Yes.
We have a book of exceeding great and precious promises.
Amen. Amen.
That'll never fail, and it's only for the bride.
Yes. Amen.
Only believe.
Amen. That's
all
it.
All things are possible.
Oh my goodness.
Man, and we're just so blessed that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Many people are called, but few are chosen.
That's right.
And I was just looking here on them old photos. Oh, man, did it bring back the memories.
Amen.
Sister Alice, Brother Isaac, Brother Neil, and all those that's passed on, you know. They got their reward.
That's right.
You know, and the Bible says, great is your reward in heaven.
Yes.
And they're just sitting there, and they're waiting on us, you know. Sister Alice used to sing that song. She used to live with us when I was a little kid up in Vandalia. And she sung that song, How Great Thou Art.
Yes.
Man, there is none greater.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve.
Yes.
You know, we have nothing to fear.
No.
Nothing can take us out of our out of his hands.
Right.
There is no power.
Amen.
Greater than him.
Amen.
He owns the hills of the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Amen.
He made the hills. He made you and me. Amen. This day to come and be a part of that great mystical, magical body of the bride.
Yes, yes.
There's no greater feeling than that.
Amen.
Knowing that no matter what may come, no matter in this cold, cold, dark world, what a denomination they're just falling
and just giving up and selling out their birthright. No matter what, he is all we need.
That's it.
And just like he said, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us.
Amen.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Oh, my, how blessed we are. How worthy he is to be praised. And, you know, to be able to come here and to give him my praise, you know. But, yeah, it's, man. I'd have a good time. I better stop or I'll get to preaching. You know, I just love and appreciate you all, and it's so wonderful and glorious to be here.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Sister Joy.
Good morning, Bride of Christ. I'm thankful, too, that God just brought me here one more time. And we got up early this morning, and Mike woke me up like 5:30, and I can really hardly get up. I'm thinking, oh my God, I feel so tired. So God, like, get up. It's not your own self. For someone else, I said, yes, Lord. So I got up. Amen. And I said, okay. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, without but spirit about it. So I just do my thing, and I said, oh, it's not that really too bad because I have plenty of time to get ready. By the way, you know, so I'm thinking, huh, that's really good idea, you know. And so I'm thinking like. So I'm thinking like, okay, Lord, I'm shy too. I do not want to get up here in front of everybody. I don't want to say something. But again, if I don't do what God tells me, I don't want to be disobedient. I really don't, you know. So I want to get out of the way.
Amen.
You know. So I just want to praise Him this morning, yes. And He's worthy to be praised. When I'm in need, I call on the Lord, and He hears me. Yes, He helps me. He's faithful and true. Won't forget His oath. My companion, my best friend, the only there's no one greater, a wonderful Savior. Oh, Jesus, the Lion of Judah. Our God is tremendous, His strength never faileth. He'll go through the fire just to save a sinner. Yes, He is almighty. He's His
in the realm of me, in the realm of His love. is the victory, the greatest love story. Came down from his glory and gave us the victory, the greatest love story.
God bless you.
Amen. They're thinking, the more we believe it, the more he'll reveal it.
Amen.
That's just how it works. You know, he's faithful in a few things, he rewards greater things. And, you know, the more you put into it, the more that you'll receive from it. And I've seen that over the years. I've watched The Bride. I've seen those try to hold back and you know, sit on the side. They don't give everywhere. You know, but the ones that go ahead and by faith and step out. You know, if he gives you something to step on, just go ahead and step on it. You know, and it seemed like it's come to a place where the bride's mature. Where the bride knows what it is, you know. And, you know, an adult's not afraid of a lot. You know, you see an old man, he's seen about everything, not much shakes him. And this bride Amen. Has come to full maturity. She's standing on her feet. She's solid.
Amen.
And I really appreciate that. I see that in the body. I appreciate Brother Seth's testimony. I said, Brother, couldn't say it better myself. Sound like you know what you're talking about. Sound like you believe in the Word.
Yes.
You know, and somewhere we got to come back to the basics. Just believe the Word of God.
Simply.
You can sit there and go round and round, make it complicated, and bring this in, that in, but just believe the Word of God.
That's
it says, you know, believe, and he'll heal you. You know, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then pray effectually, pray fervently. You know, you'll have what you ask for. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt in your heart. And, you know, and I just love the Word that way.
Yes.
You know, and the devil want to bring every kind of everything else, you know, and just every kind of distraction, every kind of lie, every kind of little subtle little difference, you know. All he can do, the only trick he's got in his whole book is just get you away from the Word of God.
Right.
So your best defense you got, just stay right there on the Word of God. Everything. It don't matter circumstances. It don't matter. You know, I was talking about that puddle, you know, the puddle's in the middle of every path. But when you get to puddle, you just jump over it. Go around it. Swim through it, whatever you got to do, get through it, you know, and trust God all the way.
That's
you
right.
know, you don't, you know, I run this tough mudder sometimes, and they got this ladder that goes up probably about like high as the ceiling here, and you're dropping into water, you know, and the only thing that holds me is I don't want to drop in that water. I don't care what, I'm going to hang on this thing and get up over it. I'm not going to drop in that water. It's too far. I'm up too high now. I've got to hang on. And the same thing with this Word. I've come too far.
Yeah.
To turn back. I've come too far to doubt him now. Brother Branham said it'd be a sin to doubt him now,
Amen.
To disbelieve this Word now. So, I like picking on the devil. I really do. He picked on me a whole lot, and I let him by with it. So I owe him a time or two, you know. I owe him a punch or two. And used to be he'd jump on my back. He'd ride me all week. Now I hear him behind me. I just turn around and kick him.
That's right.
I say, you're nothing but to get back over there and sit down like Brother
That's
Moore
right.
says. Got no time for you.
No time.
I'm a believer.
Amen.
Believers believe the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, we sit there and we, you know, if you fear, it's because you give to fear.
That's right.
Because perfect love casts out fear.
Right.
You know, and I love talking bold.
Right.
And you think, you know, you're building up some false hope. No, this is a real hope.
This is a real
it's,
hope.
It's hope like I've
lies.
Never
yes.
seen in my life.
Amen.
This is real to me. And I appreciate the Word so much. I praise him so much.
Amen.
And sometimes it gets under your fifth rib. Sometimes you just want to crow. You know, where is Rabbi Jones? You know, you come out. Let me at him. So I appreciate the Word of God. I appreciate this body.
Amen.
I appreciate being part of it, being
yes.
identified with the Bride of Christ
yes.
in this day.
Amen. Amen.
Sister Bond.
I've been thinking about where the Lord abides. Like he abides in our praise. He abides in his Word.
Yes.
And this could be a whole sermon. I'm going to keep it under 2 minutes.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, it was very clear that God wrote the Word of his law on our heart, but not in our heart, because your heart has to break for it to go in. That's the, in what your heart's broken, that word just seeps right in. That's the, why you hear so many verses about, you know, warning about the hardness of your heart. Then the only reason I'm bringing this up, because lately, for the last several sermons, I've heard warnings about the dangers of complacency.
Yeah.
Complacency is just like the hardness of your heart.
It is.
Wow. You know, you start taking it for granted because we got so much.
Right.
I used to fight and fight growing through the scriptures to get a smidgen of the revelation I get just sitting here on my butt listening. And, you know, and I'll be first, I've been complacent. And it's so easy for us to not take what we got and truly appreciate how rare of a gem it is.
That's right.
And I'm going to shut up now.
Before you go.
Amen.
I want to thank God for this man.
Amen. There it is.
In my house.
That's how you do it.
Who helps bring in me the word and center me and balance me when everything is swaying, when the storms are brewing. He brings me through. God has allowed me to be a helpmate for him.
Amen.
To help bring him through.
Yes.
To help remind him, hey, we got to get to the house.
Come on now.
Hey, we got to do this to get ready for the house.
Yes.
And I'm happy, you know, I'm happy to be in this position.
Yes.
I am grateful for the ministers. I'm grateful for the testimonies that bring me word upon word.
Yes.
When I come here, when I have to listen on the internet because the kids brought something home from school, whatever the case may be, I am grateful that the word comes through. And I pray for these ministry.
Yes.
And it was funny because the kids were like, why are you praying for the ministry? Because they bring us the word. It has to be preached. I need to hear it. I need it to come clear through. And I tell God all the time, please, please get me out of the way. I don't want to put my own thinking on this. All I want is to take in the word. And he has been so good to me. He has been so good to my family. I appreciate the brothers and the sisters and the texting and the uplifting things. And I may not quite know how to interact with that yet, but it's helped me through. It's given
Amen.
Me hope.
One step at a time.
When I start not having hope, it's funny because a sister will say something. And I won't think I needed it, but I do. I do. I need to know. I need to know that I'm a part of something. Because sometimes when life comes up, you're so busy going from A, B, C, D, you don't remember where you're supposed to be in the body. What am I supposed to be doing? Brings me back to God. Because sometimes when I'm out in the world, I don't always put him first like I should. But he's working on me. He's working on me that everything I look and see, I'm like, where's God at? So I'm thankful to be here
Amen.
One more time.
Amen. Amen, amen. I love that testimony. You know, I want to do something a little different. The sis was asking if we could sing it in the presence. And while we sing this, go ahead and greet your neighbor. You know, let's love one another today. 35 in the chorus, key of C. Amen. In and out of situations that tug of war in me, all day long I struggle for answers that I need. But then I come into his presence, and all my questions come clear. For that sacred moment, no doubt can interfere. Hallelujah. In the presence,
is my Prince of Peace. All my troubles vanish. All hearts are mended when I'm in the presence of the King.
The presence.
A place for us to rest. A place to find the answers in hours of distress. Now there is never any reason for you to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe His name. He will surely meet you there in the presence of Jehovah. Troubles vanish. All hearts are mended when I'm in the presence of the King. God
bless you. Just stay tuned to the announcements. You know, I really appreciate this place. I thank you for all the testimonies, and I just really thank God for a push. Yeah. Because you know, back in the day, my first car I had it was a standard, and my starter went out, and you know, I was stuck at the store and it wouldn't start. So a couple guys helped me out. They gave me a push, you know, because I had to kickstart it, and I just thank Jay. Because you've just been such a big brother to me, man. You know, I really, really, really love you, brother. You've always been there for me, man. Even when I wasn't paying attention, you know, times where I was nervous and didn't want to stand up for things, you were right there, brother. That's God in skin to me right there. I don't see flesh. I just see God, you know. I really appreciate this place. So I was humming the tune yesterday, and I knew I was going to sing it. Because I came here expecting, you know? And when you come expecting, you're going to get more than what you expect. You just got to have the right heart about it. And just get out of the way. That's what it is, you know? Just get out of the way. So we're gonna sing, because this is a promise here. He promised us a meeting in the air. Song 94 and the Only Believe. And then we'll get him up. God bless you all. Well, you've heard a little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling.
of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the well you often sing. Well, there's many, many others through that Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them all in that meeting in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Yes, I'm going to meet you, yes, meet you over there. Such singing we will hear, never heard by mortal ears. 'Twill be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one in that meeting in the air. Many things there will be missing in meeting, for the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will be, ever be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinners had refused to miss the call. Prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted up in that meeting in the air. Well, there's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by.
At home beyond the sky, such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting. Sweet by and by. Oh, I'm going to meet you over there at that home beyond the sky. Oh, such singing you never heard by mortal ear will be glorious, I do. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for what you've given us. So thankful for all that you bless us with. So thankful for this opportunity to be gathered here this morning. Help us to appreciate what you've done to get us here today. All that you've done. Lord, you've done so much to get us to this point. And Father, we never want to forget it. We never want to forget what you've done for us. We never want to get complacent and just not care, just not concerned. We want to be a concerned group of people.
Father, we have the word laying open here before us. We ask you to come. Speak to us today. Yes. Take the words in the book and put it in our hearts. Lord, those who are sick and can't be here for one reason or other this morning, I ask you to, Lord, send forth your word to them. Touching those different needs in the behalf. Sister Early, Lord, is going to be laying her brother to rest. And Lord, ask you to bless her and her family. Joey, her son, needs a touch from you. He's had surgeries, and the doctors have done what they can do. But God, we ask you to touch him. Different ones here, Lord Warren, who has stepped out by faith, coming here on your word, on your promises, Lord, not looking at his circumstances. But Lord, as the word comes forth this morning, I ask you to send that healing power his way, that you'll bless him for the effort that he set forth and the example that he set to push over top of even how you feel. I ask you to touch him before he walks out these doors today. Touch him now that, Lord Jesus, he can even enjoy the word as it comes forth today. Lord, there's others here this morning that need a touch from you. Lord, good to see Brother Bean. I ask you to continue to be with him. Continue to bless your bride around the world. And Father, help us to look to you for healing, as Seth said, for healing, deliverance, for body change, for it all. It's right here, right in front of us. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity this morning. Let us fully use it to your glory. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to know that God is a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a savior. He's your lover. He's your peacemaker. He's your peace of mind. He's everything to me. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and it's good to have the ability to have this place to come to. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it lightly. It's not a place that you can just take for granted and stay. It's always going to be here. It's not guaranteed to always be here. COVID should have shown you that. The government can shut the doors on the place anytime they want. All they got to do is pass a law, just like they did with COVID. Nobody over 10 people can be in your church. And it becomes law. Didn't even pass a law. It just said, that's what you got to do. And they could lock the doors on the house of God at any moment. So don't take this place for granted. Don't take it as though you're going to always be here, because you'd never know. It may be here and you may not. You're not guaranteed. I remember when I was 20, I thought that the rapture was going to come and I'd never see retirement. And here I am, 64. It's like, turn around twice, Don, and it's, oh my goodness. It happens to the best of us, and it happens to all of us. But while you're in your youth, serve God. It thrills me no better than to see young people serving God. I like to see old people serving God too. I like to see us all serving God, because he's worthy of everything that we can give him. You know what he's done for us, we couldn't do for ourselves. Now, there's some things you can do for yourself, and I expect you to do them. But the things that you can't do for yourself, leave it to God. He can handle it. And it's good to be here. I enjoyed Wednesday night service. You know, the thing I love about this place, and I'm just talking about 1744 Superior. The thing I love about this place is we have a balance. You know, and we know how to balance things out. And when you've got things that you need to do, we just tell you what you need to do, and then you just do it. And the thing about it is, it's not going to change the message one way or another, whether you do it or not. When I tell you to come to church early enough to be here half an hour before service, and you don't do it, it doesn't change the service. You say, well, why are you making a law? I'm not. Brother Branham said you need to do that just to get the spirits off of you. You know what you bring here. Come on. I ain't the only one bringing spirits here. You say the pastor brings spirits? Yeah.
Amen, Lord.
If I bring spirits, I know y'all are.
Amen.
So you need to come a half an hour early just so that you can get in the atmosphere. So you can say and coming in and greeting each other and sitting down and getting into the Bible or just listen to the music or just get in the atmosphere and not sitting here talking about the Super Bowl or sitting here talking about what you're going to do for dinner after church and talk to the sisters and say, well, you know what, are you coming to the nitty? That ain't what this place is for.
Amen.
This is an atmosphere of worship.
Right.
This is the holies of holies.
Right.
This is where you come in when you get out of the world so you can shake all that stuff off of you. And you say, well, I don't come to church until about 10, 20, 30 minutes after it started. That's your own problem.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't need to be here early. No, you don't.
Mm-mm. Mm.
It ain't going to change. It don't affect me at all. God looks good from where I'm sitting. And then when you get here, you don't come in here running around here just acting like nothing matters. And that, you know, you say, well, why? Because I'm trying to tell y'all, you're hearing from God when you come in here. And you're not just hearing from God when the preacher gets up. God's been preaching and talking from the beginning.
Amen.
And I've told y'all that for years. I said, don't wait till I get up to take your notebook out and start taking notes. Seth said a lot of good things. Don said, we get messages from people. It's a body ministry. You don't realize, it ain't about me. See, a lot of times, Jeremiah, they think it's you, me, and Jay. It's the three stooges. It's our show. It's what we're doing. It ain't about us three. It's about the entire body. And God uses you. He wants to anyway. If God can't use you, it's your fault.
Right. That's right. That's right. You might as well preach.
If God can't testify out of you, it's your fault.
That's right.
If God can't sing out of you, it's your fault.
That's right.
You say, well, I can't carry a note. Make a joyful noise.
Amen.
Just get in there. It's a body ministry. We all have something to do.
Amen.
And what Jeremiah was saying on Wednesday night, you know, you need to shake yourself. Because sometimes we get to a point that, you know, we think that it's just about the ministers and we don't have nothing to do. But you're going to cherish what you treasure. You will. You'll cherish it. I don't care if you got a diamond ring. You ever give a girl a diamond ring? I've done it before. Warning, those little prongs come off. Who knew? When you pay that much money for a ring, nothing should come off. But you give her that ring, and she'll polish it, and she'll go back to the jeweler every once in a while to get it clean, and she'll cherish the thing. She'll put it in the most prominent place, and first thing in the morning, she'll get up and put that thing on. It'll go for her all the day long. She'll cherish that thing because it means something to her. And if you have something that's valuable, you know those Nike shoes kids y'all used to get? And they were really good, and they were white and clean. And you'd clean them up, and you'd wipe them down, and you'd get mad if your brother put a scratch, a little scuff on it. Wipe them off, keep them up, put them in the front of the closet. You know how you put them in there? Give yourself about a year. After a while, by and by, you're throwing those things from across the room. You're walking on them. As a matter of fact, they become your yard shoes. You cut grass with them. You don't cherish them no more. Don't let the word get that way. You come to church on time, first thing, you love the word, you love God, you're all on it. It means everything to you. Give yourself a few months, a few years, and after a while, it's like, yeah, I'll get there eventually. And when you got here, you were on fire, and you were burning, and you were testifying, and you were singing, and you were praising God, and you were very thankful for every... Don't watch, Jennifer. Watch me. Eyes this way. It's this way.
Amen, Lord.
See how easy y'all get distracted?
Amen, Lord.
God's talking.
Amen.
God's talking, y'all like. Now, y'all are in there in y'all mind saying, what is Jennifer doing? He's got two waters. Why is she going back?
Amen.
Stay focused. She's doing what God told her to do.
Amen.
Are you doing what God told you to do?
Amen.
See, that's a problem. We're thinking everybody else has got it. Now, y'all done messed me up. When you first get to the message, remember how it was when you first believed? On fire? Couldn't get to a church early enough? Couldn't hear enough word? Loved it? Testified, sang in groups, did all this stuff.
Yeah.
Then after a while, you're standing in the back of the church throwing a Nike in the closet.
Amen.
It's still your message.
Right. Yeah.
It's still real.
Yeah.
You still use it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the love that it had when you first begun. It doesn't have that priority.
Right.
It becomes number two, three, four. You used to listen to everything that the pastor said and believed it.
Amen.
Now you know too much. You got your own relationship with God. God talks to you. God talks to you so much you can't even hear me. I wouldn't trust that God. But what I'm saying is, restore, Lord, unto me the joy of my salvation. I want to love it like I've never loved it. I want it to mean more to me than anything now. This is a year of dedication. I want to dedicate myself to God. You can use me however, whenever, wherever you want to. You say, you already stepped on my toes this morning. Yeah. Good.
Amen.
Because I'm just getting started.
Amen.
If you don't want me to step on your toes, move your feet. But this thing, it's not just for the ministry. I mean, y'all would be upset me and Jeremiah and Jay didn't study. Y'all would be just turned out if I come here this morning and said, well, y'all, I was tired yesterday. I don't feel like preaching today. Let's just sit here. Y'all wouldn't like that very well. Wouldn't even know what to do. So it ain't about me. J. Jeremiah.
Right.
It's not even about William Branham.
Right.
All right.
Amen.
It's about you and God's word dealing with you. That you are part of this thing. We can't do what we do without you.
Amen.
And you can't do what you do without us.
Amen.
Let me read. You can have a prophet. This is interesting to me. I find this interesting. You can have a prophet. You can have a message. You can have the pillar fire. You can have God himself with you. And still mess this thing up. Still put it on everybody else's shoulders to do the job. Still looking for somebody else to testify while you sit here and listen to it. Like Elise said, this service ain't even a service without my spice, my flavor. Without my amen, without my waving of my hands, without me praising God, this service ain't even right. That's just how I feel about it. See, I don't ever worry about any service because I know I got a little secret. I'm going to pour a little something in every service. I'm going to season every service. If I'm not the preacher, I'm the closer. If I'm not the closer, I'm a testify.
Amen.
If I'm not a testifier, I'm going to sing. If I'm not singing, I'm going to play. Oh, there's not a service. Oh, when I'm gone, y'all know I'm gone. Some of y'all could not come and nobody know you're not here.
Right. Amen. Come on.
Amen. When was the last time you poured a little spice? See, this is normally my December message. If you haven't testified this year, when's the last time you poured a little spice on the message? Amen. When's the last time you add a little something to the service?
Yeah.
Bring a little something.
Yeah.
You know, when you're invited over to dinner, you're supposed to bring a dish.
Yeah.
Right. Don't just come in my house and eat. They call that rude.
Amen.
Melanie came by my house this morning, and she brought a dish of potato salad. I'm a happy man. When you're invited out, you do that. That's God's invited you in the house. How many testified this morning? Raise your hand. How many sang a special this morning? Raise your hand. How many sang as part of the congregation? Raise your hand. I was trying to give all y'all something to do. But that's the way it should be.
Amen.
Now, if you're sitting there and you didn't raise your hand for none of the above, you know what to do. So, I want to go over here this morning because I got a little something I want to read. Because it ties in with every testimony this morning, everything everybody said. I just sitting there saying, Turn with me over to Exodus chapter 17. Here, you got the children of Israel. God's chosen people. They weren't just anybody. These are God's chosen people. Are y'all God's chosen people?
Yes.
Let me ask that again. I don't think everybody said it. Are y'all God's chosen people?
Yes.
Okay. Some of y'all sound like y'all were questioning it. These are God's chosen people. God was guaranteed to be with them. He gave them a prophet. He gave them the pillar of fire. He gave them signs and wonders. He did many miracles for them. He did all these things for the children of Israel, his people. But there was a problem there. Because they had Moses. But Moses couldn't do it all by himself. We had a prophet, but a prophet alone is not enough. You say, hallelujah, I believe in William Branham, so. Let's just not read it all to save time. Just jump down to verse 8. Exodus chapter 17. And we're going to start with verse 8. Just read a few verses here. Here's the children of Israel here with Moses. And they got in a fight. And the children of Israel needed to win the fight. See, you don't get into the promised land without fighting. It's a battle. This ain't always fun. This ain't always just a party. Ha ha. Fun and games. You got to fight. You got to take it. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Wait a minute. God is telling them to fight? I thought we were humble people. I thought we were supposed to just let everybody just know. There's a time for everything under the sun. Amen. A season. And at this time, in this season, God said, fight. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top. Wait a minute, did I miss something? I must have turned the page. Oh, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him. I love Joshua. Joshua's, if y'all want to know how y'all should act, read Joshua's life. Joshua never gave Moses a moment of problem. He never back-talked him. He never talked over him. He never come up with a better. Joshua never had a better way. He never gave him a moment's trouble. And there's some people in the church like that. And there's some people in the church not like that. I ain't going to name names. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Now, who is Aaron and Hur? This is Moses' family. And I only want you to know this because I want you to know how his family did him. Aaron was Moses' brother. Hur was Moses' brother-in-law. It's Miriam's husband. So Moses took his family up with him and thought, you know, family can be good. And then if they get in between you and God, family can be not so good. So Moses grabbed his brother and he grabbed his brother-in-law and he grabbed his rod and he went up on the hill. So Joshua did as Moses said. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Isn't that weird? When Moses' hands were up, they were winning. When his hands went down, they were losing. Well, I thought they were God's people. If they're God's people, how can they lose? Keep that question in mind. We'll answer that before this morning's over. But Moses' hands were heavy. He had a lot on him. Have you ever tried to hold your hands up over your head for a long period of time? I used to hold cabinets for Don. Back when he first started hanging cabinets. He ain't as fast as he is now. He knows a lot of shortcuts now. Back in the day, we held the cabinet up while he figured out where I'm going to screw this hole. Where I'm going to put this. Did I hit a stud or not? And the whole time, you're holding the arms up, holding the cabinet up, and you're doing this. Hurry up, Don! Hurry up! Well, I got to find the stud. Hurry up! This is the times we fought. Moses had to hold his hands up all day long because it was no little fight. It was a battle. They fought from sun up to sundown. That's the way the battles went. Nowadays, we have night vision, night goggles, everything. No, they fought while the sun was up, where they could see. And when Moses had his hands up, God blessed Israel. And when his hand went down, God blessed Amalek. Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone. Here's what his brother and his brother-in-law did. They took a stone. See, they're not going to give up the fight. See, the thing is, you don't stop fighting. You make a way. Like Warren said, I'm going to be there. You make a way. So they took a stone and put it under Moses because he's standing. Okay, do this for 4 hours. I ain't talking about all day. I'm just saying 4 hours. Do it for two. Do it till they get out of here. I should do that. I should have somebody come up here. The one I hate. Haven't come up since. So let's see how long they can hold their arms up. just to prove a point. So they said, Moses, we got a problem here. What we noticed, every time you cut your hands up, we win. And when your hands come down, we lose. Moses like, look, guys, I'm tired. I've been standing since 5:30 because the sun comes up early. It's not like us. You know, the sun rises early. They're up. When I went to the Philippines, and Joy can tell you, they're up when the sun comes up. They don't do like us. We don't even set the alarm. We just roll over and pull the blanket over our head and go back. Joy said this morning she got a 5:30 is late in the Philippines. Because when I go to the Philippines, I hear them sweeping the floors, mopping, washing dishes as soon as the sun's up. And I'm talking 5:30. They're up. They're at it. You hear the jeepneys. You hear the cars. You hear right at the dawn. So Moses had been standing there since the break of day. God bless that prophet. He got tired. He said, hey, guys, we got a problem here. They said, Moses, every time you put your hands down, you better keep your hands up. See, a brother could say that. Keep your hands up, boy. Every time your hands up, we're winning. Every time your hands come down, we're losing. So you keep your hands up. Moses like, I'm tired. They didn't care. Moses was the prophet. It's his job. It's just up to Moses. His job. It's whether we win or lose, it's Moses' job. Whether we win or lose, it's all on Moses. It's all Moses' problem. No, it's all of our problem.
Amen.
Because Moses wasn't the only one who was going to die.
Right.
Or be blessed. So they said, Moses, we got to do something here. Number one, you can't sit down. So it's a good thing he took two people with him. They rolled this big old rock over there. And Moses leaned up against the rock. And they said, well, there, good, we fixed it. So they kept fighting. And a few minutes later, here goes Moses, leaning up against the rock. Here goes. We still got a problem here. You're comfortable sitting, but your arms are coming down, and we're losing. Now, what if Aaron and Hur just said, you know what? We're going back down off the hill. No, they said, we got to do something. We got to do, see, it's our job. See, the thing is, when you're called to do something, you figure it out. I cannot stand people who give up. Oh, it just gets under my skin. They run into a problem. We can't do this. Oh, use your head. Think. 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 I used to manage people. And it's nothing worse than having and see, you can be mentally lazy. That's worse than physically lazy. Mentally lazy leads to physically lazy. And your thinking, if you don't exercise your thinking, you'll get lazy. If you don't think things through, you're trying to figure out change. Because see, in the old days, you used to have to figure out change. You had dollars. Quarters. See, these young people, they don't even keep coins. You know why they don't keep them? Because they can't count. Lazy. Throw the change on the, I find change on the ground. And you know what they say is, you know, was it heads or tails? I don't care. When it's in my pocket, they say it's good luck if it's heads up. I'll take that one. I'll take the tails. I'll take any of them. I don't care if it's standing on end, I'll take it. But I don't want to take money because you got to think. You bought something for 49 cents, and I got two quarters here. What am I going to do? Are they going to give me something back? Then they give you a penny back. You know what they do? What the young people do? Y'all can tell me if I'm lying. They either put it in and take one, get one, or they throw it on the ground in the parking lot. That's where I find a lot of my money. I thought thought I was in heaven the time I was jogging and found a $20 bill. But that mentally lazy, they give up. See, there's some Christians that are mentally lazy. They have no push about them at all. They get in a situation, and the first thing they want to do is surrender. First thing they want to do is lay down. First thing they want to do is give up. Oh, I'm having a rough. Oh, I can't do this. You better stand up. You better figure it out. When the enemy comes one way, you need to figure out another way. When he hits you on the right, you better swing with your left. When he comes on your left, you go to the right. It's called fighting. It's not dancing. You got to figure it out. When you run into problems in life, you got to figure it out. That's the difference between a manager and somebody who works for a manager. A follower comes up to the manager and says, my pencil's broken. And the manager says, did you check in the lap drawer to see if there's another one? I didn't think of that. Go check. I mean, there are people who are really that dependent. And that bugs me. And more so Christians that way. When they come to you with a problem, and they should know the answer. You've preached to them. You've taught them. You've told them. Everybody else in the service heard it. But then they come and they say, well, what do I do about? I'm like, well, did you ever think about doing this, this, and this? No, never thought of that. And I ain't even talking about being spiritual. I'm just saying common sense. Don always says revelation, most of it's just common sense. It is. If we live our life with common sense, we'll stay out of a lot of problems. So when you run into, this is a little side note for all of us so we know, when you run into problems, don't just give up. Amen. Don't just lay down. Oh, the devil wins. He got me. Oh, he pulled that one. Oh, I didn't know it was coming. Oh. I will find a way or make a way. That's what you do. You don't just give up. And here Moses was running into problems, and he was running into problems because he had some things that needed to be done, and he didn't have nobody to figure it out but him. And when he had his brother and his brother-in-law with him, they're all up there together, and they saw Moses was leaning against the rock, but they're like, you know what? His arms are having trouble. We got to figure something else out. We got to do something. So let's read a little bit further. Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone, and they put it under him, and he sat thereon. That made good common sense. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steadied until the going down of the sun. Isn't that amazing? And then Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Joshua's down to fighting. He's in the trenches. But because of Aaron and his brother-in-law, they held Moses' hands up. Now, was it easy for them? No. It wasn't easy. They kept it up until the sun went down. So Moses is like this, but Aaron's like this, and Hur's like this all day long. Was it easy? No. Was it a challenge? Yes. They figured it out. They worked together. They didn't just walk off the hill and say, Moses, you're the prophet. You figure this out. Amen. It's your job, man. Right. You the preacher. Yeah. So I like the title this message today. Together we stand.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Together we stand. None of us can do this on our own. None of us can make it on our own.
That's right.
I'm talking about Moses, man that God dealt with, pillar of fire with him, everything else. He was still a man.
Yes.
He needed help.
Amen.
And it wasn't just Moses, it was the whole children of Israel that was affected by the decisions that were made by three men.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Three.
Wow.
Isn't that funny? One, two, three.
Yep. Amen. Wow. That's right. Amen. Right.
Those three men held the banner up high.
That's right.
They kept things moving. They did the best they could, but they needed each other. Because while they're doing their job, Joshua and the children of Israel were doing their job. See, it wasn't one man. It wasn't Moses just up here doing his job. It was just Moses and Aaron and Hur doing their job. Joshua had his own job. See, the thing is, the thing you got to understand is that it takes the entire body to move to do the job. That's why Jeremiah was saying, what's your treasures? Where are you putting your treasures? Because where are you going to put your treasures? What are you going to guard? Oh, we all say we love the message. Oh, we all say we're part of the message. But where are your loyalties?
Amen.
Right.
Where's your sense of obligation?
That's right.
Moses was obligated.
Yeah.
So was Aaron and Hur. Obligated. Because they knew everybody out there depended on what they did. You know what was funny about this? Those same two that helped to save Israel were the same two that got under Moses' skin Sorry, Jeremiah and Jay. I'm just saying. The same. I thought it was interesting that the two that were the responsible parties to help the prophet out, when Moses, and we won't read it to save time, but it shows you that you can have a prophet. You can have the greatest message. God could be with you, but you can still be a thorn in the side. We won't read it, for if you want to write it down, and you can read the story, Exodus chapter 24. Now, Moses was going to go up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And when he went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, who did he leave in charge? Aaron and Hur. He said, in verse 14, you don't have to go there, but I'll just read it. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. Same two guys. The biggest help that Moses had saved Israel. You'd have thought they put him on chairs and carried him around. Aaron, Hur. They were great guys. And Moses had a lot of confidence in them. But won't read it, because between chapter 24 and chapter 32, Moses was up on the mountain getting commandments from God, getting the vision for the people. So you got to have a vision. I'll get to that. But here he is up on the mountain, and the people didn't have an idea what to do. They just down there having a party. And they got over there, in Exodus chapter 32, in verse 1, it says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, We wot not what's become of him. We don't know what happened to that man. What happened to William Branham?
Right.
And Aaron, the same one that held the arms up. Aaron, the same one that was the spokesman for Moses. Aaron, the same one that had to went into the holies of holies. Aaron, Aaron. He was Moses' mouthpiece. Good guy. And Aaron said unto them, break off your golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the earring, the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. That was a lot of earrings. Brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. How quickly! They ain't even made it to the promised land. Moses up on the mountain getting the thou shalt and thou shalt nots. Moses getting the vision for the people. And because they did not have a vision, they turned just like that. Back to their old ways. Back to their old gods. Back to their old habits. Oh, it doesn't matter. We don't know what happened to that prophet's message. We got it all now. This William Branham, I don't know what happened to him. Problem is, they didn't have a vision. They didn't know which direction they were going. They didn't know what God's requirements was for them. Don't have to turn there, but Proverbs chapter 20, this explains why they messed up like they did. Because you wonder why people mess up like they do. Proverbs chapter 29, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. If you don't have the vision, if you don't know where we're going, if you don't have my vision,
amen.
Say, I don't need your vision. You'll perish. Because we're going somewhere. Moses is up on the mountain getting the directions. God was telling him how to build the temple of the wilderness, how to do the tabernacle. He gave him the Ten Commandments. God wrote all that. He was doing all that while they're down there just dancing in the streets and making calves of goat earrings. They were doing all these things while God's trying to work with the people. Because they had no vision. Brother Branham said, it's a very outstanding time. We realize that We're speaking from the scriptures. It says that there is no open vision in the days of Samuel. He was talking about Samuel. But the comment I wanted to comment on that Brother Branham said, therefore, where there is no vision, the Bible says the people perish. We must have a vision.
Right.
A vision comes to the prophet, and the word of the Lord spoke to them. We got to have a vision. Our church has to have a vision. The message that Brother Branham has to have a vision, a direction, something that you're going to be doing. You've got to have it or you're all over the place. Your life's all over the place. You don't know one day whether God's with you or not. One day you're being blessed and you think, hallelujah, God's with me. And then you go through a trial that God sends you through and you think, oh, where is God?
Come on. Preaching.
And you can do that when you don't have a vision. You don't know where you're going. In order for you to not be worried about being lost, you got to know where you're going.
Amen. Amen.
I had to look this up because I didn't want to misrepresent a vision. So, you know, I'm good with dictionaries.
Amen.
And this was on the, this is in the, this is actually out of the dictionary, but this is just a good definition. I thought this would be good. Visions serve a variety of purposes. They can convey what is happening in the future, prophecy,
right,
or teach spiritual truths. They can be used to strengthen a believer during a trial. Reveal events that would otherwise be unknown or revealed God's majesty. They can confirm punishment for sin, inform someone to do the eternal's will, or even provide encouragement and hope. Lastly, they can confirm a blessing or promise or reveal our Father's plan for man. That's what a vision does. And my goodness, God has had a vision for us from Genesis 1 all the way through Revelation. The problem is people don't see the vision. People have problems because they don't know where we're going. They don't know what we're trying to do. They don't know what the prophets brought. They don't know what this message is supposed to do for them. They're running around here with no vision. And you can tell somebody with no vision because you know what they did in the wilderness? That's somebody with no vision. Somebody with vision has goals, direction, purpose. They're going to get something done. One way or the other, they're going to do it. If I know what the outcome is, I'm going to get there no matter what. Right. Somebody don't know the outcome? Well, I don't know. They'll give up. Amen. Sooner or later, you know, that's why people fall off. That's why they leave church. They have no vision. They don't listen and pay attention and put to action in their lives what they hear preached. Amen. Because when the word's preached, you are expected to take that vision and apply it in your life. And if you don't, you'll perish.
That's right.
Couldn't blame Moses. Moses was getting the vision. He did exactly what God told him to do. But the children were all over the place. Sometimes the church can be all over the place. If you don't have the vision of the ministry of your pastor in that local assembly, you say, there he is making, see, his him being a man. Make, no, I need you to hold my hands up.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
If you don't have the vision of the church, you can't be a part of it. You can't function right. You'll be stumbling around here. They're doing this and you're doing that. They're going here and you're done. It's like, we got together last Sunday. Somebody's like, I don't get into that. Well, let me go over here and tell you this. Let me tell you a little secret. Yeah, I don't get into that. It ain't about that. You know why we do the things we do in this local assembly? We do that to bring unity, to give us a little bit of fellowship, to get to know the people is going to spend eternity with. To have a little common, because you know we all go home to our little house, and in our little closet room, we all sit there and say, "They don't like me. This one never comes over to my house. I heard Brother Nate's doing this. He never did that with me. I hear Brother Jim's doing this. I ain't heard he ain't invited me. This one's doing this, and that one's doing that." And you sit at home and you whine. So what I do in my infinite wisdom, I say, Jeremiah, find us something to do every month in the year. Now, it could be anything. It doesn't really matter. It could be anything. The reason we do it is not for the activity, but for the fellowship and the unity. So that we can do more than just come here on Sunday morning and smile at each other and go home and lie to each other.
Amen, Lord.
That's why we do it. So y'all don't know how to pastor. I do.
Amen. Amen.
You criticize. Well, they're doing it. God help us if we have a snake in the building. And we can do anything. And it's like, it has nothing to do with the activity.
Right.
What you need to do is pick up the vision. The vision is unity.
Amen.
Of the body. Not only in faith, but the unity of the body. They said, okay, we need to communicate. We need to contact each other. We need to spend some time together outside. Get these sisters that are quiet. Get these brothers that are quiet. Pull them into. So I don't. Some things I don't want to be pulled into. Don used to pull me into electrical work and building, and he never calls me to help him chop wood until it's the coldest day of the year. I was surprised. I was surprised he didn't call me when that temperature dropped down. I'm busy. He usually waits till the coldest day. He'll call me. He'll say, "What are you doing?" And it's like 2 degrees. And I already know. I already know because he's done it so many years. "What are you doing?" Sitting in the house. "What do you need? Want to come over and chop some wood?" No! That's what the inside says. It's 2 degrees. Why didn't you call me in July when it was 80? I'd rather sweat than freeze. That's all that's going on in my head, and it happens so fast. Because between the time of you want to come over and cut wood and my answer, I say, "What time you need me there?" Now, I don't whine. Oh, I do tease him, though. I do say, "You called on the coldest day of the year." I tell him that. He usually does call me on the coldest day of the year. And that's, he burnt all the wood up. But I don't whine. I don't try to, matter of fact, I don't even want him to know it's an imposition, inconvenience. And he knows me. He knows I like heat. He knows I like being in the warmth. He knows he's asking me to do the worst thing in the world. Just to test. I know he's testing me. So I don't give him the glory of whining about it.
Amen.
I answer him quickly. What time? Don't make him feel bad. He's my brother. And I'll go over there and chop the wood, and the whole time I'm chopping wood, he can't hear me. So I'm like, but that's okay. That's my brother. But see, what it does, it puts a bond there. That's not just biblical bond. It's a real friendship, a real brother. It's your brother in need. Bible tells me, how do you see your brother in need and shut up your bowels of compassion? How can you do that? That's what God said. How can you do that? Your brother has a need and you won't give it to him. Well, it's not convenient. I ain't talking convenience. It doesn't make me feel good. I'm not talking about how it makes you feel. I've been electrocuted. I've been cut. I've got a spot on my forehead right now that belongs to Don Deskin. I ain't lying to y'all. I'm telling you, we've gone through many things together, but that's the body. That's my brother. I've been in ditches, I've pulled chains, I've hauled hay, I've done all of that. But you know what? That's my brother. When Steve Collins said, I need to pull some hay in. Like, let's go. Let's go. Hottest day to you. You and Don need to kind of think of it. Steve calls me on the hottest day of the year, and Don calls, I never made that connection. I think it's the body just testing me. They probably call each other. What do you say? They said he's coming. But the thing is, it's a body, and we do things, and some of you are critical in the choices that we do, the things that we do, what we choose, what we don't choose, and then you won't come. You won't be a part of it, and you sit over in your corner and pout because nobody's talking to you. Too bad. It's your fault.
Amen. Right.
You have not because you ask not. Or you ask upon your own lust. Help me, help me, help me. And you ain't helping nobody. You ain't doing it. And then you wonder why nobody's patting me on the back. You know that old saying, if you want friends, show yourself friendly.
Right.
I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here.
Amen.
Amen, Lord.
Some of y'all must be grumpy. You got to do something. You got to give.
Amen.
give and you shall receive. You can't be God-giving. I heard that this morning. You can't give enough that God won't give back. But if you don't get the vision of the church, if we don't get the vision of the message, if Brother Branham didn't get the vision of Jesus, we're all in trouble.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So it's important. It's important. It's the most important thing. It's more important than what you think or how you feel. Didn't feel good for Aaron to have to stand like this. Probably 12, 14 hours. But they did it. Because there was a need in the body.
That's right.
The body needed them to sacrifice and suffer.
Yeah. Yes. Right? That's right.
Yeah. My scripture come to mind says, if you don't suffer with me. Right. Some of y'all don't suffer.
Right. All right.
We got into a point now in this message, you know, nothing matters. It's over. We're not doing nothing. We're not asking nothing. We're not retired. You know what I loved about Wednesday night message? As hard as Jeremiah preached, it never made me feel condemnation. It made me feel like, Lord, I can do better. Lord, I can put more treasures up. Lord, I can do this a little better. I can wrap my hands around this thing a little better, a little tighter, hold you a little closer. That's the way I felt leaving Wednesday. If you walk out of here giving up, saying, oh, I can't do this, you ain't never had it. No vision. And the thing I love about a vision is it will show you things to come.
That's right.
Things that are to be, where we're at, what we need. And we need that. Remember, and I won't go over it this morning, but just to cover just a little bit of it, with those four beasts we talked about last Sunday, those four beasts. The first was like a lion, Revelation 4, verse 7. The second beast was like a calf. And the third beast has the face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. These beasts were all protectors of the word. I learned more last Sunday on that than I'd ever known in my life. They were protectors of the word all the way through the Bible. They always protected the word. Now today I want to concentrate on that fourth beast because that's the only one that really affects us. That eagle. Now, I looked at that eagle. And just to jump down through that, I just went through the Bible and picked out a couple of characteristics. Okay. Now, remember, the eagle was a cherub.
Right.
It's one of the four beasts. Well, all the other three beasts down through the ages protected the word. I love the fact that I now can understand clearly that it wasn't them going away from the word. That they only could receive the word that God gave for them. They didn't need to be an eagle. They didn't need to know what we know. But you know what I know about these cherubs? The thing I love, and I was thinking about this morning, and the thoughts that come to my mind, I was sitting there thinking, because I think that sometime, I thought, you know, if you're a cherub, these are the things that you should do. That's the first thought I had this morning. And I corrected myself. I said, no, that ain't right. If you're a cherub, these are the things you will do. Amen, Brother Nate. It's the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Don't make me have to do both sides of this.
All right.
If you're a cherub, because the cherubs had elements and they had characteristics for the beast that they were going to be battling.
Right.
And it wasn't that these were the characteristics that they could do. They're cherubs.
Right.
God made them for that purpose.
Right.
They were going to do that regardless.
Amen.
That ox did not have to train itself to become an ox.
No.
That sacrificial spirit that was poured out on that church age because that horse rider went out and started killing and slaying. God sent that ox spirit out there. And not that they will do, they did give their life. It wasn't even a battle for them. Oh, they so wanted. Brother Branham said if they could have given 100 lives, they'd have died and died and died. They'd have done it over and over again because it was their very nature. That cherub that was riding them made them exactly what they needed for the hour that they were living in. And it was they were ordained to do exactly what they did. When it came to that beast, that cherub of a man, that intelligence that God wanted to use to create, to make Bibles and to put the theses on the door of the Pope and all Fox and all those messengers that were going through that age in there. Brother Branham named a couple of them. All of those messengers, it wasn't that they could be smart as a man.
No.
They were. Amen. Because they were created to be smart.
That's right.
Luther had no choice in the matter but to be as smart as he was. Because he had that spirit of that man on him. That cherub was riding him.
We
almost want to think that Luther couldn't have done it. If God hadn't sent the cherub, it would have been, he could have. But God's love for the age was more important than even their choice. Because we know that we're a free moral agent. But what that free moral agency does, it connects you to the beast for the hour that you're living in.
That's right.
Your last agent, your last free moral agency guess or decision or whatever you want to call it that you're doing happens when you say, that's right.
That's it.
Because then that beast, which is the Holy Ghost, the spirit of the age, comes upon you, and you will manifest what you're ordained to do. See, you lose your free moral agency once you're born again.
That's it.
Amen.
You have a choice to choose God. But once you're born again, it's no longer I.
Amen.
It's no longer my choice.
That's right.
Now I'm looking, Lord, which beast am I on? Which beast am I representing?
Yeah.
So I want to concentrate a little bit on the beast for this age. Because the beast of this age is going to put you right where you need to be.
Amen.
Right where you need to be.
Right.
You don't have to act like you're smart.
Right.
You don't have to give your life. Amen. You don't have to be the lion of the tribe of Judah.
Right.
He says you're going to be at the end time an eagle.
Right.
An eagle.
That's right. Amen.
Isn't it funny? That's the bird of the United States, where our prophet come from. There's no coincidence in God. An eagle. An eagle is different than any other bird. And I looked in the Bible, and I just pulled some things out of here. An eagle will nest high. That's Job 39:27. He'll nest high. He ain't going to hang around in the gutters. He ain't hanging around the highway waiting for somebody to kill something.
No,
Matter of fact, an eagle won't eat something that it didn't kill.
Amen.
You're not going to feed, you don't find eagle pellets. You can't feed them something that's made by man. I'm talking about an eagle now. Now, remember, we're in the eagle age. So where you should be nesting, a nest is your home. A nest is where you live. A nest is where you bring your kids. A nest is where you take care of your family. That's an eagle for you. That eagle will nest up high. It ain't going to be down here right. on the ground because you know what? The enemy's on the ground.
Right.
You're going to bring your kids to the nest.
Right.
Above all the danger, as crazy as this world is, this is the safest place to bring your kids.
Amen.
Like Seth said this morning, look out there, my kids are going to Sunday school. Praising God for that. The house of God is where you're going to live. House of God is where you're going to rest. House of God is where you're going to stay.
That's right.
Not in and out, in and out, in and out. You're in when the preacher talks about Christmas and Jesus was born, and you're out when he tells you got to live right.
Come on.
Come on, amen.
I know that's
right, preacher.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Nate. Amen. All right. Who needs y'all? I do. Because together we stand. This nest that we have here, this eagle's nest, an eagle, when he first builds that nest, he builds it backwards. Because he puts all the sticks and the hard things and the thorns and the thistles in the bottom of the nest. And then he takes all the soft downy and the feathers and the soft things. He lays it all on top of the nest. And it makes it like, wow, this is a good place to be. Y'all know how y'all felt when y'all first come here? Yeah. Yeah. This church has so much love. I when I first come, I thought, oh my, these people are so good. I can't go to this church. They're too good. I'm awful. They're good people here, really good people. And I was like, I can't do this. This is just, oh, feathers. Tell us about predestination. Tell us about eternal security. Tell us about a prophet. Tell us about restoration. Tell us about all these good old things that we're just, this is good. It's good to be here. But it is a hidden gem. Because when you lay those eggs in there, you land them right on those feathers. And when that chick pokes his head out, that little eaglet, it's like, we got a nice place here. Kids are happy. They're going to Sunday school. Parents are singing. They're doing all this. We love each other. We get together at least once a month. We do all these activities. Oh, this is the greatest place. But you know what? After a while, Mama Eagle looks at that eagle, that little eaglet, and it's like, he got feathers? Got talons. It's got wings. It's got a beak. And I've been spoon feeding this boy. He's almost as big as I am. Have you ever seen a mom carry a kid too long? Sometimes I see at least, she'd have a Levi. She's like, Levi's a big boy now. After a while, I don't care how much you love your kids. After a while, you know. Somebody needs to tell that to Molly. She still climbs in my lap. Big old dog. But after a while, the mother looks at that little eagle and says, you know, you're almost as big as I am. It's time. Time for you to learn a little bit more about this message. It's time for you to, you know those wings you got there? You ain't never used them. You've never hunted. Your little screechy cry. Get a man's cry out of you. And that mama, what she does is she starts kicking out the downy feathers. And the little eagle's like, Mama, what you doing? Oh, I'm just cleaning the house. And then that little eagle goes to sit down and is like, ooh, there's a little thorn there because Mama put those thorns when she built the nest. She's like, oh, she had a vision. She had a vision that this kid's going to fly. And that everywhere, after a while, you know, more she kicked out, after a while, he's like, Mama, there's nowhere to sit. She's like, no. Climb up on the edge of this nest. Come right over here. And that little eagle's like, Mama, this ain't as comfortable as a poop. And do you know by nature, by his very nature, he will fly out of the nest. So an eagle's nest is different than any other nest. Psalms 103 says that your youth was renewed like an eagle. They're young. They're strong. They're mighty. They're big birds. Eagles are a big bird. They're not a little bitty sparrow. They're a big bird. They can pick some big things up. And he flies. An eagle flies higher. That's Jeremiah. Eagle flies higher than any other bird. He said, well, I know a bird that can fly that high. They might get up there, but they can't see. There's a lot of people come to the church and try to fly here. Don't see a thing. I don't see no healings. I don't see this. I don't see that. I don't know what you're talking about. Can't see a thing. But an eagle, he's got such sharp eyes that not only can he fly high, but he can see a rabbit way down there on the ground. He can spot it. Before it even knows that there's even somebody looking at him. That's an eagle for you. When the word of God comes across your path, as an eagle, we cannot help but to fly high. We can't help but to talk about predestination. We cannot help but to talk about eternal security. We cannot help but to talk about a prophet and a restoration. And we cannot help but to tell everybody that we're not just Revelations 10, 1 through 7, but I'm representing 8 through 11. Amen. That's flying high. There's a lot of low birds flying down. Well, you know, God sent us a prophet. God sent us a prophet. Well, that's good. You know, I'm glad to know that. You know, a buzzer can see that. Anybody can see that. It's pretty obvious that God, just like saying, do you realize Jesus Christ came? Everybody knows Jesus Christ came. History shows you that. History shows you William Branham was a major prophet. You don't even need to be a believer. There's a lot of people follow Brother Branham that don't follow him no more. So I'm not talking about following Brother Branham. I'm talking about following the revelation. The eagle flies high with the revelation. Do you know the revelation didn't stop when God sent a prophet? Oh, we just began to fly. To begin to be an eagle. Just begin the eagle age. Just begin to see what we see. To know what we know. To be who we are. Oh, that Brother Brennan was just the beginning. Look at us now.
Amen.
We're flying at things that people never heard. Talking about things. Talking about the loved ones here. Shout trumpet. Voice and trumpets already all three sounded. The dead are on their feet. It's just a tweak of an eye, just a revelation from being in the body change with them.
That's right.
Who flies like that? Who talks like that? You can't hardly get the people in the message to talk like that. So they fly high. Job 9 and 26, they're quick to pray. When we see something, the bride will turn quickly to the word. Get on it. Now remember, I'm talking about a cherub. I ain't off my topic. I'm still talking about, I'm just describing what we should be able to see if we're looking at an eagle cherub. When the word comes forth, the eagle snatches it up. No back and forth. No, I'll have to go and pray about it. Remember when God moved us up as a body? I never seen that before in my life. We're all sitting here with our own thinking, and God moved me up, and the whole congregation moved right up too. Quick to pray. Get on it quick. Brother Chills always used to get me. He said, get it. He said, when you get those spirits, get it. Don't let spirits lie. Don't let it lay in your congregation. Get it. Don't let unbelief sit amongst you. Get it.
Amen.
Quick to pray. When the word comes forth, I don't expect to have a whole big old dissertation about a revelation that God gives me. God will talk to me at home. I come and tell you. God will talk to me right here, and I'll tell you. And my expectation that if you've got the cherub of an eagle on you, that you're quick to pray. You'll jump on that meat. You'll take it quickly. The bride will turn quickly to the word. I don't even have to ask you 6 months. I don't have to worry about trying to get you to go home and study this thing out. We're beyond that point now. We're in the eagle age where the eagles will quickly take the word as God brings it.
Amen.
We all do that. We're doing this thing together as a body.
Yeah.
I love seeing us moving as a body. When I see the revelation moving, we're moving as a body. We don't have the battles that we had back in the 80s and the 70s. And when they battled, God bring a message and Brother Children would bring a revelation. And the body, all the ministers have to, I don't know. Let me go study that. Let me go see this. You know, we don't have that. If I told you God's going to bring us a body change tonight at 4:30. I don't know. Let's just go and pray about it. Let's just go and look up the scriptures and quotes and see what. No, at some point, this bride, this eagle has got to be quick to pray. She got to be quick to jump on the word. When the word's given, the word, the bride just quickly turns to it. We're not sitting here debating it. That's the thing we're doing. We're turning quickly to the word. And that's how you know an eagle. When I hear you, I don't know. I'm a different case. You know what? You are a different case. Because you should be pressing to be that eagle. And it shouldn't even, like I said, these things, these elements that I'm talking about coming out of the Bible, this is the very nature of the beast that is here, this cherub that's here in this hour. And see, that's what's going to make the difference between an eagle and everybody else. We jump on the word quickly. We jump on it. And it's not even that we're not even trying to. I can't help it. When I hear the word, I'm like, that ain't nothing but the truth. God speaks something, that ain't nothing but the truth.
Amen.
I'm not debating. I've never turned one word of God down. And the thing I love about it is because now that I understand that by Brother Brennan's message, God was breaking off the bread for each age, he broke it. He broke it. And each time he broke that bread off, they ate every bit of it. That's why justification came before sanctification. That's why sanctification came before the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because the justification was the breaking of the bread. And when sanctification came on the scene and God broke that to us, they didn't turn down justification. They didn't understand how it worked. I understand how it works now. See, that's because I'm an eagle. They didn't understand when sanctification came with Wesley. He did not turn down justification because he had to believe justification to be the beast for that age. And Pentecost had to believe justification and sanctification and restoration of the gifts. They had to believe it because that's all the word that God had given. And that's why Brother Branham, when he came and his job in Malachi 4 was to restore the full word, we had to believe the whole word because the whole loaf was given to us. And now you must believe it all. And the only one that can believe it all is an eagle. Only one that can see it all is an eagle. Only one that can apply it to their life is an eagle. Nobody else did. As a man, they couldn't do it. They did the best they could with what they had. But now God's not winking anymore at ignorance. He's sitting here looking at us, talking to us, dealing with us, and he expects us as eagles to step out on it. We will step out on it. The eagles will turn quickly to the word. The eagles will nest here. The eagles will fly high. We're going to do it just because of our very nature. He's not going to hear come here and try to plead us into, oh, come on. Oh, why don't you come to church? Oh, why don't you get into the body? Oh, why don't you be a part of this? Oh, why? No. No. If you can't act like an eagle, it just means you're not an eagle. If it walks like a duck and it clucks like a duck, it's a duck. If you can't eat the word, you're not an eagle. If you can't come to church, you're not an eagle. If you can't soar into revelation, you're not an eagle. If you can't eat it as soon as the word comes your way, you're not an eagle. Because that's the cherub that's on the age. See, the cherub just wasn't just to the messenger. It was the whole age. The prophet's message wasn't just Moses. It was Aaron and Hur and all of them working together to make it happen. It's a body ministry. And it's more of a body ministry now than it's ever been. And it's always been a body ministry. If you look down through the ages, always been a ministry to the body.
Amen.
But we're at the full word. Revelation chapter 6, verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal. Now we're getting into that eagle.
Amen.
When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice from the fourth beast saying, come and see, come and see. Do you know what the eagle does? Do you know what the beast does? Let's start with that. The beast exposes Satan. There were four beasts and seven ages. And those four beasts overlapped the seven ages. But every one of those beasts, the first thing they said is, come and see. Come and see. They point out Satan and his tricks. That's right. That's the job of the beast.
Right.
So if all the others pointed out Satan, that last beast, which is the eagle, the fourth beast said, come and see. But what did he point out? John said, I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Do you realize this fourth beast, which was the eagle, was pointing out that Antichrist spirit? It was Antichrist spirit and all the other three beasts, but this beast was different because this horse was pale. There are four horses. There's a white horse, a red horse, a black horse, and a pale horse. The white horse was white. The black horse was black. The red horse was red. But the pale horse was a little different. The pale horse was a combination of all the black, red, white, mixed together into this mushy pale color. Have you ever mixed paints together? I have. And when we were in grade school, they used to mix. They gave us the four primary colors. And from those four primary colors, we would mix other colors. Well, as long as you mix the right colors, you get purple. You'll get orange.
Yes.
You'll get green, magenta. As long as you take those primary colors and mix those four primary colors. See, y'all thought I forgot everything. You mix those colors and they give you other colors.
Right.
But what happens? If you mix all four together, you get a pale gray looking nasty color. Clary's had a painting when Michael was a little boy, and it's Sunday morning and we were getting ready to go to church, and she had painted that. I asked her to paint me an ocean for the bathroom, and she had painted that up, and it was finished. She finished it Saturday night, and ooh, it was beautiful. And we got up Sunday morning and got ready to go to church, and we're all dressing, and you know how house with kids are, you're running around. So me and Clarissa run around getting dressed. She'd got Michael dressed and run him, wind him up and let him go. And he's gone, and we're getting dressed, and we're getting ready to leave for church. Like, where's Michael? And we're looking all over the house for him. And then I went down into the, back then it was our laundry room, and Clarice had that painting sitting on the easel. And I opened a door, and Michael's had just turned around smiling. He had taken his fingers on the entire painting, and it was gray. It was, you saw nothing. You mixed all the colors. So that last horse, that pale horse, was the most deceiving of all of them. But it takes an eagle to point out that horse. And it takes an eagle to be able to see where we're at. And here we are saying, come and see, come and see. Everybody we talk to, come and see, come and see. We've recognized the whore that sits on seven hills. We recognize that man of sin, the 666. We know all the answers of all of these things. We see it all. That's us. That's the eagle. We see everything from Genesis to Revelation. Yeah. Last Sunday, we ran the cherubims from Genesis to Revelation. There's nothing hid from the eagles.
That's right.
Amen.
Oh, the man could see a lot. The lion could see a lot. The ox could see a lot. But nobody saw as much as that eagle. He flies higher. He soars into the depths of the revelation of this message. And we're not satisfied for God to send us some puny little breadcrumbs and saying, God sent us a prophet, or God sent us a message, or baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus was died for your sin. We're not satisfied with those little crumbs. We have the whole loaf now. We understand the whole story from Genesis to Revelation, and we do it because of who we are. It's an hour to understand. It's an hour to know who you are. But only the egos will know. And it won't be because of our studies. It won't be because we're so smart or so good. It'll be because of the revelation that God's revealed to us. And we are ordained to receive this thing. Can't miss it. Can't mess it up. Can't drop the ball. It's our very nature. I can't help to see what I see. I can't help that I know what I know. I can't help to understand what I understand. And nobody else can do it but an eagle. Not like we can. Oh, they might talk about Jesus. And they do that in denominations. You listen to the radio all the time. And they might even get to a point where they say, you know what? This is the end time. But they don't know what that means. They don't even have a clue about what the end time, what it even takes to bring an end time on. The hat has to be in the right place. Pope has to be in this condition. Russia has to be in this condition. America has to be in this condition. Sodom condition. Noah condition. Drinking and running around and food in every corner and just no love for God at all. It all has to have its place. And now that it's here, nobody's going to know it but the eagle who can see it all. So now that we have such a great message, Brother Branham said, and the fourth beast, the living creature, like an eagle, said to John, Come see what the fourth mystery of the plan of redemption. The plan of redemption. So it's always been the plan of redemption. Amen. Has been hid in this book. Because the Lamb was opening it. In other words, that's what he was saying. There's a fourth mystery here. I'll show you in symbol. Now, John, I don't know whether you understood it or not. But he wrote down what he saw. But it was a mystery. So he wrote what he saw. John saw it and wrote it in types. If I ask you to describe something that you had no idea about, if I went back to Abraham Lincoln and said, draw me a television. And that's just Abraham Lincoln. I can go further back. George Washington. Clarice and I went to George Washington's house, and we were shocked how we lived better than George Washington did. And George Washington was living the best of the day. Go ask George Washington. George Washington, make a television. Draw me a picture of a television. Or take him, this is a television. And take it away and say, now, write down what you saw. He said, a man came to me with a box. That's all he would know. The Lamb was breaking the seals, and God still wasn't going to reveal it. It was left for the last days, see? Now, we've had symbols. We probed at it and done very good sometimes, see? But we know it's moved right on. But now in the last days, we can look back and see where it's been, where it has been. And that is supposed to be done. That at the end time, the end of the church age, just before the rapture. Now we can look back. Because the spirit of the eagle is on us. The cherub of the eagle is on us. Amen. We can see it all now. Amen. We know all these things. Oh, it's 12. Oh, Lord, I got it. Okay. Sorry. I didn't realize it was that late. But, man, maybe we'll talk about some more tonight on it. Tonight we'll talk about the vision for our day. I'm going to wrap this up. I'll continue maybe tonight. But just think of it. Together we stand. It's a body ministry now. It's not just Brother Branham. It's not just a fivefold ministry. But the spirit of the eagle has moved into the entire age. You have to help hold this thing together. It's your job to make sure that you do the part that the eagle is supposed to do in your life. Amen. It's not just me and Jeremiah and Jay.
Amen.
You hold our hands up. We'll get through this together. We're doing this as a body. We're not doing this just us. It's not just the ministry. You have just as much important part to play as I do.
Amen.
You'll touch people that I'll never touch. You'll hit people that I'll never meet. And you'll do the things for them the same as I will for the people I meet. Because you are the final voice to the final age.
Amen.
We'll do this together. We'll hold each other's hands up. We'll keep this thing rolling. But it's not just on me. It's on you. I am not the age. We are the age.
Amen.
I am not the final voice to the final age. We are the final voice to the final age. You have to hold my hands up. I have to hold you up. You're supposed to do your part. I'm supposed to do my part. And I'm going to tell you this. Some of us has not been doing our parts. Some of us has not been doing our parts. And I don't have time to go into that right now. We'll continue. But God help us because it's to the age. It's not to the ministry. It's not just us. You're holding our arms up. This thing is going on, but it's going on because of all of us, not just because of one or two of us. We need to do our part. We need to play our roles. We need to push this thing as hard and fast. And you know what? We will.
We will. Amen.
We will. The eagle will do it. I'm not even afraid. I'm not even liking the people say, well, if we don't do this, then the rapture's not going to go. Oh, we're going to hold up the rapture. You're not holding nothing up. What you'll find is that a lot of people who claim to be eagles aren't eagles. That's all we're dealing with. It ain't that deep. It's not hard to find. Eagles will do it because it's the spirit of the age. And it won't be hard. It won't be a bitter pill. No. Oh, it's bitter to the belly, you know. Well, yeah, it is bitter to the belly, but you're willing to do that because you're made to do that.
Amen.
I've been created to do that. I've been created to hold this bloodstained banner up and to push this thing all the way to the... Do you know we're going to push it all the way over the edge? We're ordained to do that.
Yes.
The same God that brought the ox, the same God that brought the lion, the same God that brought the man is the same God that's in the eagle.
That's right.
And he's going to finish this thing up. We're going to finish thing up, and we're going to finish it up together.
Amen.
I'm going to do my part. You're going to do your part.
Right.
And we're going to push this thing. We're going to shine this thing up so that the devil can't put a finger on you. But we're ordained to do it. That's our rest on the fact that it's just in us. Just live. Just live. You do what's in your heart. You know what's in the heart of an eagle? The nature of an eagle. You know what's in the heart of a buzzard? The nature of a buzzard. And I don't care how much a buzzard tries, he will never look, sound, fly, eat, or see like an eagle. As much as he wants to, and he'll want to. Oh, he'd love to be able to do that. If you could be a buzzard and fly as high as an eagle and see like he does, oh, man, he wouldn't miss him. He wouldn't worry about those telephone poles. But because he can't do it, he just has to watch the eagle fly over. And man, how does he do that? It's just in his nature. How are we going to do this thing? It's just in our nature. And, Lord, if we're going to be more dedicated, this is going to be the year, I'm telling you. This is going to be the year we're going to push this thing harder than ever before. And not because you're going to make yourself do more. It's just God's opening our eyes that what he's going to do. He's doing it. If I'm more dedicated, it's because God made me more dedicated. It's not, okay, I'm going to strain. This is going to be hard. You know, I love Sandra's testimony this morning. Because I remember Sandra went. Sandra was like, when she first come here, headship's hard. I can't listen to that man. I'm this and I'm that, and he ain't gonna. And that was Sandra, wasn't it, Sandra? Oh, I know. I heard you from the organ. I was like, ooh, Lord. But this morning she said, thank God for this man. He keeps her home breastfed right. He didn't. You know what? Different testimony. Now, did I go coach her? Mm-mm. Did I make her and threaten her and say, no, Sandra, you need to settle down and you need to love that man. And you need... No. I didn't say a word. I heard that testimony and said, ooh, Lord, deal with her, work on her. But you know what does it? It's coming into the nest and hearing the word. I've had people say, oh, my kids are bad. I don't leave them at home. No, bring them. Bring the little bad kids in here. Bring them in here. We took care of Kevin. Kevin was a bad boy. He come in here, he is like, rah! And he told Glenda, he said, I don't have a daddy. I snatched him up and said, I'm your daddy. Settle down. And look at him now. It's the word that does it. It's the word that changes you. It's the word that makes you fulfill whatever it is, but it's because you're in the nest.
Yes.
And what it does is it sprinkles that word out there, and the very spirit of the age wakes up inside of you. And you say, I can't see why anybody can't see this. I can't understand why anybody can't understand this. I don't know why anybody wouldn't want this. Oh, put a buzzard in an eagle's nest. It'd be so uncomfortable. He's looking over the edge. What am I doing up here? I got to get out of here. I shouldn't be in here. You're going to die. You're going to die. Get out of this thing. That's a buzzard. They're not comfortable in the house of God. They're not flying where we're flying. We love to soar into the deep. We love the revelation of the word. It's what we're made to have.
Amen.
We're ordained for this thing. And because of who we are, I can't help when the word corrects me, I say, thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
When the word pats me on the back, I say, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
When the word says it's time to step it up, I say, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
When I need to move forward, he says, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
When I need to slow down, it says, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
When I'm wrong, which is the zeal of the hour, I say, Lord, I'm wrong.
Amen.
I'm wrong, I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Yes, dead wrong.
Help me to do a better job. Help me to be a better boy. Help me to be a better example.
Yes.
I want to represent this Eagle Age to the world so somebody else can see what you've done in my life by the word of God.
Amen.
What did the word of God do to you? It brought out an eagle.
Yes! Amen! Amen.
Cherub's just not the messenger. Cherub's the whole age.
That's right.
The eagle's all of us.
Amen.
We'll do this together.
Amen.
Together we'll stand.
Amen.
Together we'll take this message out.
Amen.
Together the world will see the final voice to the final age.
Amen.
Because of who, not what, but who we are.
Amen.
They'll see it everywhere you go. When you go to Kroger's, they can't help it. When you go to work, they can't help it. You'll be the best employee they got. You'll be the best neighbor they have. You can't help it because it's your very nature. And God, where I'm short, help me. And he's going to help us. He's already helping us. Jeremiah's message Wednesday was powerful. Last Sunday's message was powerful.
Amen.
And if I have to say so, this what do you
Amen.
What do you say, fella?
Amen.
Boy, that's a powerful message.
Amen.
It's powerful. But it's calling to us. But we're all looking and saying, I can do this
yeah.
because of who I am.
Amen.
I'm a cherub. Do you realize you're a cherub?
Yes.
Oh, I love that, Warren, this morning, wherever you at. Warren, an angel.
Yes.
We are angel. A cherub is an angel.
Yes.
Oh, well, I was in the organ when you was reading that song. I said, hey, there you go, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
I was biting my tongue back there. I was like, he is 100% right. The angels aren't some up there. We are the cherubs, the angels to the age. An angel is a messenger. What message are we bringing? The final voice to the final age. Oh, my. I don't have enough time to do this. That's who we are, but we're going to do this together, church. This body is growing together. We're moving together. We're pressing towards the mark of the high calling. What high calling? To be the cherub that God's ordained you to be. And I'll do it. I don't have to worry about it. It's like, so you usually, you think after you get the friends to mess like this, you're like, okay, well, what can I do? What can I do? Don't worry about it. Just know you're a cherub. Just know you're an eagle. And everything that's in you is going to come out. It will. I guarantee you it will come out because of who you are. We are going to do this thing together. I guarantee you we're going to do it. The bride's going to, she's already united. She's already on her feet. She's already doing this thing. We just need to understand that we are doing it. Some of our problem is that we didn't know we were doing it. We thought it was somebody else's job. We thought it was my job, but Jeremiah and Jay's job. No, hold my arms up.
Amen.
We got a body change to happen.
Yes.
And it's going to take all of us to bring this body change. And it's not going to be because you studied so hard and decided, oh, this is it. No, we're going to just be eagles. A couple of flaps of our wings. And we'll be out of here. Just captive, just get the vision and you'll be right where you need to be. Where you're slacking up, step it up.
Amen.
Where you're too fast and getting ahead of your pastor, slow it down. Get behind the vision,
Amen.
And you will be exactly where you need to be, and we will get this job done together.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning for your word. We can do this because we're ordained to. We're the final voice to the final age. The eagles are standing on her feet. She knows what it is. And Lord, we're so blessed to understand this. Oh, it fires me up to know. To know who we are. To understand the hour we're living in. To understand the spirit that you poured on this age. That's poured into us. That we can do this. We can stand together. We can hold up the prophet's hands. What Brother Branham brought was true, was right. And now he expects us to hold them up. Hold those hands up so that when the world sees this message in us, they'll see what you have brought in this age. Thank you for this congregation who loves you. Lord, where we've been short, help us to move forward. Where we need to settle down, and Lord, help us to do so. And we will, Father, because it's in us. It's in us. It was in Luther to write those theses. It was in Wesley to bring a separation and a segregation. Yes. And it is in Pentecost to have those gifts restored to the body. They didn't have to try to bring it on. They didn't even know what was going on. But Lord, now we know. You have given us an understanding. And we can't even put all in one service all that you show us. But God, what you've given us, Lord, let us chew on it. Let us manifest that. Let us just think on those things. And help us to, Lord, just look to you and do the job that we're ordained to do. The whole bride body of all ages is saying, Fairborn, do your job. That's right. Yes. They're dependent on us. Yes. And Lord, we're dependent on you. And you won't let us down, and we won't let them down. Because they, without us, cannot be made perfect. But oh, they're perfect today because of what you brought to us. Thank you for it all, Lord. Thank you for this body. Just help us. Oh, it stirs my heart. And I pray that people could understand and see what we're talking about, what we're saying. And I hope it stirs them as it stirred me. And Lord, it helps me to just want to move up. Do better. And hopefully it helps others to do the same. I'm sure it will, because that's what your word does. It makes us better. Thank you for it all. Thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Brother Moore, can I testify just for a second? I just want to finish the job that was given to me this morning. Wednesday, we have a brother speaking. Brother Nick is coming in on Wednesday. We have a guest speaker, so just stay tuned for the more announcements to come. Amen.
Something that comes to my mind is I saw love, mercy, and grace. As Sister Alice sang that years and years ago. Some of you may not even ever heard it. Bob Robbins wrote it and brought it here. And Bob Robbins was a preacher from Texas. Come through here. Wasn't even in a message, but he loved us. And he brought this song to us. And he left a little bit of himself here. Yes. And he'll be here until we leave. Yeah.
I was going to get up, but everybody kept getting up. But I just want to say thank God for everything that was preached. Every word is just confirmation. When God deals with you during the week and it comes across the pulpit or somebody says it, it's just confirmation. It gives you a rest that you are standing on the word and you're believing the word. And I'm just so thankful. And that's all I want to say.
Amen. Amen. They said that's page 36 in the key of F. Come back tonight. Bible study starting at 7. And see what else the Lord has in mind. Now, we've got company coming on Wednesday. And I will be out of town next Sunday, so Jeremiah and Jay's got it. I don't know. Jeremiah's got it next Sunday. Amen. But this is what I see when I look at what God's given us in this hour. This is what I see when I look at this message. This message was nothing less than love, mercy, and grace to the entire bride body. That's right. I vision his beauty. I can see it. I looked on his face, in his word. His word is his face. I saw love, mercy, and grace. I saw love, mercy, and grace. I saw love, mercy, and grace.
I saw love, mercy, and grace. I see love. I see mercy and grace. That's all I see. Oh, I see love, mercy, and grace. My vision is beauty, and I looked on his face. I see love, mercy, and grace.